Good morning to all our listeners. We are from the Gospel Hall Assemblies in beautiful Barbados, and we are here to preach the good news that Jesus saves. Our postal address is Post Office Box 84, Britain's Hill, Barbados, and our program is called The Joyful Song. Welcome, everyone.
As you get your Bibles, please listen to this message and song, Worthy the Lamb. Our speaker today is Dr. Robert Belgrave, and his message is A Work in Progress. Good morning, Dr. Belgrave.
Good morning, Brother Weeks, and greetings to all of our listeners in Radioland. We welcome you to our broadcast this morning. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee again for thy love and thy goodness to us. We thank thee for the gospel and its power. We pray that Christ may be exalted in this hour today. Bless those who listen. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Salvation is a work of God in the human heart that takes a moment of time. Salvation was accomplished by the once-for-all act of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In another sense, salvation is a work in progress. That is, as far as the individual is concerned, salvation begins with the enlightening work of the Spirit of God, moves on to the moment of acceptance or yielding by the individual, followed by his or her growth to perfection or full maturity. The letter written by the unnamed writer to the Hebrews illustrates a group of people who fall into the first category, people who were enlightened, made aware of the basic requirements for salvation, but who either failed to go on to accept the terms of salvation or who were wavering on the brink of a positive decision. And that is the precise point at which this message has relevance and application this morning. There are many Barbadians, Caribbean people, and indeed people generally, who have to varying degrees been enlightened about the work of Christ in providing salvation for the world, but they have not gone on to take the vital step of yielding their wills, their lives to the Lordship of Christ. And in that sense, they are still a work in progress. To be in such a state and to continue in such a state is most precarious, however, for although it presupposes that such persons have a certain knowledge, it is most dangerous for them to remain uncommitted to the salvation offered by Christ, which is the reason for the frequent serious warnings given by the writer to the Hebrews throughout his letter. And on the other hand, the strong exhortations and encouragements to take the next obvious step after enlightenment, that is to go on to accept the perfect salvation in Christ. Our text for today is chapter 6 of Hebrews, verses 1, 2, and 9, and it does this very well. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Let me just touch on one or two of the warnings in this Hebrew letter. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest haply we drift away from them. For how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. What is the basic proposition that the writer of this letter is putting to his readers? This group of Jewish people who had been enlightened. It's this. This is the proposition. Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises, chapter 8, verse 6. That is, the New Testament in Jesus' blood is superior to and supplants the First Testament in animal blood. The challenge then to the readers is not only to be enlightened about the superiority of the new covenant, but to actually accept it. What, incidentally, are the bare bones of the new covenant? That is, what are the major truths of which an unsaved Jewish person needed to be aware? Our text tells us, six items are laid bare. Repentance from dead works, faith towards God, baptisms or ritual washings, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. In the interest of time, we can take them in pairs and see how there may be three broad truths that emerge. Namely, how does one approach God? What is man's approach to God? And what's the difference between the Old Testament type and its fulfillment? And what are the implications of the resurrection in terms of future judgment? Take the first two items, repentance from dead works, an interesting description of the total ineffectiveness of works for salvation, dead works, and secondly, faith towards God. The New Testament speaks, by contrast, of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith towards God, yes, but the faith that brings salvation is faith focused on Jesus Christ. All this concerns man's basic approach to God. We must realize who he is in his holiness and who we are in our finite helplessness. We must turn away from dead works and exercise faith in Christ. Secondly, many things under the old covenant were washed. Objects were washed. People were washed. The laver was a permanent part of the experience of every Israelite. Under the new covenant, with its fulfillment in Christ, our consciences are cleansed from dead works to serve the living and the true God by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's Titus 3 and verse 5. Similarly, the laying on of hands spoke of identification of the person offering sacrifice, transferring or symbolically conferring their sins upon the animal to be slain. It was an act of identification and of substitution. In the New Covenant, Jesus, the sacred Lamb of God, bears away our sin. In the third pair, resurrection and eternal judgment, reference is made to the truth of life after death and accountability after death. In the New Covenant, because Christ arose from the dead, every believer will rise and share his victory over death, not coming into eternal judgment, which will be the fate of those who continue to reject Christ. Actually, these teachings from the Hebrew letter coincide neatly with the bare bones of the gospel laid out by the Apostle Paul in his Corinthian letter. In two places he insists that the power of the gospel resided not in baptisms, but in the preaching of the cross. And in chapter 15, it lies in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I preached it, said Paul. You received it, and you are standing in it, and it has saved you. I appeal to you listeners this morning. Are you still a work in progress? Are you just intellectually convinced of the message but have never gone on to perfection, that is, accepting Christ into your life as Savior and Lord? Remember the warnings, heed the encouragements, and trust Christ today. We trust that God will bless this message for His name's sake. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace extended to us even today, and we thank you for the gospel that can save us. Bless the listeners today, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Yes, dear friend, the work of salvation is completed in Christ once for all, but the offer remains open to you. God's work of attracting you is still in progress. Have your conscience purged today by the blood of Christ, and have the work of God completed in your heart. Our address is the Joyful Song Broadcast, Post Office Box number 84, Britain's Hill Post Office, St. Michael, Barbados. We'll be waiting to hear from you that you have trusted the Lord Jesus and have the work of God completed in your heart. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chains, and thousands of voices are shred.